Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
I believe that God has something special for someone here today. And I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. reading from the King James Bible. Let's start from verse 14. Please lower it. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I take it again. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That thy profiting may appear to all. Turn your Bibles. We are coming back to 1 Timothy 4:15. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We are thanking God for his unspeakable gift. The New Living Translation of this same scripture, it says, thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. Lift your right hand and say, I have received a gift. Oh, I can't hear you. Say it loud. I have received a gift.
I have
received a gift. Say, I am carrying a gift.
I am carrying a gift.
What is the gift? What is the gift? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. The King James Version says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ." Say, "The gift of Christ." In the church, in the kingdom of God, I should say, and also in the church, there are many gifts at work. We have the gifts, ministry gifts, gift of prophecy. People operate in the prophetic gifts. People operate with the gift of healing. There are many, many gifts. Tongues. Some people have a gift to interpret tongues. These are many gifts that are in the body of Christ. But there is one gift that is not in the rank of prophecy and interpretation of tongues and so on. That gift is the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ. Jesus Christ is a gift. That is, if you have him, anyone who has received Jesus Christ has received a gift. I think the other day Paul talked about it. He said, yes, the same Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. It said, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith. That this salvation is not of yourselves. It didn't originate from you. It's not from some work you've done. It is the gift of God." So any Christian who is born again and saved has a gift. Your salvation itself is a gift. "For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So when you come and stand in front of any service or your own, your room, you just surrender your life to Jesus. That moment, when you surrender to Jesus, something happens, whether it is in front of a church, at a crusade, in your sitting room, in your car, at a small fellowship. The moment you call on Jesus as your Savior, a gift is put into you. Your salvation is a gift. If you are sitting here and you are saved, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 that your salvation is a gift. Now, in the same letter he wrote to the church in Ephesus, chapter 4, verse 7, you see that it is repeated. That concept of you carrying a gift of salvation is repeated. And you see once again, he says, unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Anybody, like as I stand here, I have Jesus in my heart. I have Jesus. I didn't pay for Jesus. I paid for the shoes I'm wearing. I paid for the microphone I'm using. But I didn't pay for Jesus. He's a gift. How many of you have got Jesus? You are saved. Then I feel that I am in the right environment. I sense I am in the right environment. I've pointed out to you that your salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8. I've told you that your having Jesus in you is a gift. Ephesians 4:7. So with this background, let's start again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Which was given to you by prophecy. That word prophecy is not that there's an auntie of yours, she lived in Kaswa, she has moved to Ketan in Sekendi. She has two children. The firstborn died. What killed that boy is coming for you. That's not. This word prophecy is. Like right now, I'm prophesying. I'm speaking under inspiration. So when a word of God comes to you under inspiration, and hands are laid on you, you receive a gift. Sometimes it is one or the other, or both. Some of you receive that gift after like right now, I'm prophesying for about 1 hour. I'm speaking under inspiration. Anybody who surrenders to Christ has received a gift that has come to the person by prophecy. Now, that gift of salvation which is in you it is there. Tell your neighbor it is there. Tell your neighbor you have salvation. Tell another person you have Jesus. Say it is there. Now, Paul is saying to us this morning that you can actually neglect. Mommy, take your phone and get me the meaning of neglect. To neglect. To neglect.
To neglect means fail to care for properly.
Fail to care for properly. Add just one more and let's end.
Then that's the verb. Or fail to look after.
That's all. You've done your work today. You can clap for her. I think some three or four of you are getting the message. Is there anybody here who has received a gift of a dog before, but the dog died? Can I see your hand? Yes, some girls here and one boy. You can receive a gift. And as a result of improper care, the gift can be lost. Is there anybody who has received a gift before that somebody stole the gift? A watch or mobile phone? Is anyone? Money? Yeah, somebody blessed you with 40 Ghana. You paid tithe for Ghana. When you got to 36 Ghana, you couldn't find it. So whenever you receive a gift, you also have a responsibility to care for the gift. Your work doesn't end. When you receive a gift. Everybody has a moment in life. It's a moment of elation. It's a moment of fulfillment. When you see somebody you gave a dress to, after 4 years, the person still wears that dress. Something happens to you. You give a car to someone, and after 5 years, the person is still driving the car. It gives you a feeling. I mean, if I give somebody a car and next week I get a text that the car is crashed, it's not a good feeling. So, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you receive a gift, you also have a responsibility to keep it well, to take good care of that gift. Jesus It's a gift. Your salvation you got 15 years ago in secondary school was a gift God gave you. You know, a gift can make a very big difference. Imagine somebody gives you a gift of a plot of land. You don't know what it takes to buy a plot of land. I bought a plot of land when I was a young student. I started building on the land soon after university. I was in church and I got a message that land guards have come for the blocks. To cut a long story short, I paid for the land twice. And even that one, there are still skirmishes. I'm saying that when somebody gives you a gift, that gift actually can change your life. Sometimes a gift of 10,000 cedis may be all you need to become a millionaire one day. Yeah. That 10,000 cedis is what you use to start that little business which grew and grew and grew and multiplied and became multifocal. And today I am a millionaire because of the 10,000 cedis gift. I met a man when I was in sixth form. I had finished sixth form. I had gone back to my secondary school to receive a prize because I won a prize. I think physics or so. I forget. Then I met a man, a photographer, whose studio was at Circle. At that time, he was the main person in the country. I don't know how we became friends. He invited me to his house. Big house. He showed me the camera he used to build that house, which was a gift. So if somebody gives you a camera, depending on your level of stupidity, you have either become a pauper or a millionaire just by the camera you got. I was 9 years old. Nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Nine. When my father died, I became fatherless at age 9. I was in class 3 in a certain private school. My father was paying my fees. And when he died, my mother couldn't pay the fees. The owner of the school gave either me or my mother a gift. I'm talking about how a gift can change your life. That gift he gave us was a scholarship in that school. And he said that my mother shouldn't pay my fees. So class 4, class 5, class 6. My mother couldn't pay the fees. But I didn't pay fees because the owner of the school had given me a gift of a scholarship. Actually, in class 5, I passed an exam called Common Entrance. I don't know what you call it now, which takes you to secondary school. I mean, proper secondary school, not what we have now. 5 years first, and then 2 years after that. In class 5, I passed the exam that took you to secondary school. My mother didn't have money to buy chop box and mattress and mosquito net and trunk and white shirt and khaki shorts. So I stayed in class 6, even though I could have gone to secondary school from class 5. Because she had no money, I stayed. Because staying in class 6, that one was a scholarship, so she wasn't paying anything. It was when I finished class 6 that now she has to find money to pay my school fees. So after class 6, there was no money. Let me stop the story there. The owner of the school, when he saw that my mother was still having problems paying my fees, he said, okay, secondary school, he will still pay my fees. Fortunately for him, I had earned a cocoa marketing board scholarship based on my performance in the common entrance. So cocoa marketing board was paying a big chunk of my fees, but whatever was left also, my mother couldn't pay. So the owner of the school paid the rest. Now, I'm standing here today as a medical doctor, a specialist in an area of medicine. Not because I am an intelligent student, but because a gift I received early in my life made it possible for me to stand here and open my mouth to say I am a medical doctor. A gift. Without that school owner's gift, I would have been something else or dead by now. I took very good care of that gift by studying very hard. I studied very, very hard. All my this I've top. I don't know how to get a C in school. I have not got a C before. That C. No. C5 or C4. C what? What do they call it now? C4. C5. Oh, there's C4. There's C5. Oh, there are different C's. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I don't know how to write an exam and get a C. I don't know. It's either an A+. My failure is a B. Yeah. I'm preaching. You may think I'm joking. So you may not know what somebody's gift can do to your life and the difference a gift can make to your life. That is why Paul told Timothy that don't neglect the gift that was given you, the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus. As you sit here this morning, there is a gift in you. There's a gift in you. Whether you prayed this morning or not, whether you read your Bible or not, whether you are even a spiritual person or not, there is a gift in you. And one thing you learn to do in life is not to neglect a gift. Can I have that meaning again? To neglect.
Neglect means to fail to care for properly.
To fail.
To care for properly.
So Paul was telling Timothy that don't fail. Don't get an F. I said, don't get an F. Don't get an E. Don't fail to take care of the Jesus you have. Jesus must be taken care of. There are many types of Jesuses. The Jesus who died on the cross, you may have only his right leg in you. When you receive Jesus, you must not fail to take care of Jesus in your life. If you don't take care of Jesus, you will lose your Jesus. You will lose him. You lose him. Some of you, the Jesus left in you is just an idea. Some of you, the Jesus you have now is just a memory of your past Christian life. Some of you, the Jesus you have in you is just it's just from a book you have read. Because the experience of Jesus you had 20 years ago has faded away. You are an unbeliever sitting here this morning. Why? You fail to take care of him. You didn't take care of him. I received the same Jesus you received 40 years ago. There are people sitting here who are not Christians. They are just churchgoers, church members, church. I mean, a relationship with Jesus. Because you see, you may think of Jesus as a King of Kings, as some warrior sitting on a horse. That is the Jesus in the Bible. The Jesus in the Bible is completely different from the Jesus in you. Some of you have only the hair of Jesus. When somebody dies and you go to the grave, you dig the coffin, depending on the time you are digging the coffin, you may see only bones. Sometimes there's no bone, there's just hair and nails after many years. The Egyptian mummies who died 7,000 years ago, whose bones are still there today, those bones were properly cared for. They were mummified. Bones don't last long. Not 1,000 years. Some of you sitting here have no Jesus. You have no Jesus. Everybody receives the full Jesus. When you are saved, Jesus enters your life. He is Jesus. And after, from that day, the level of care you give to that Jesus in you determines what is left. That is why in Ephesians 4, verse 7, I'll show you something. It says, according to the measure, the size of the gift of Christ. The size, the measure, the size, the amount. We have different amounts of Christ in us. Some of you have got 1,000 kilos Christ. Some of you have got 800 kilos Christ. Some of you have got 5 kilos Christ. Some of you have got 6 grams of the hair of Christ. According to the measure. Olonka, Madrin, Milo, teaspoon. The measure of the gift of Christ. Everybody gets one Olonka. But after 5 years, some of you, your Christ is a spoonful of Christ left. Is there the measure? That is why Paul said, make sure you don't neglect the Christ in you. Some of you take care of everything in you, in your life. You take care of your job. You take care of your clothes. You take care of your children. You take care of your wife. Take care of your husband. Take care of your academic life. You take care of everything. The only neglected part of your life is Jesus. That's why you are sitting here. There's no Jesus in you. What is left is Lighthouse. And your relationship with the pastor. Give me 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by preaching. Somebody preached one day and you got that gift. You went to a crusade and an evangelist preached one day. You went to a church service. You were alone in your room and the Holy Ghost convicted you. Don't forget that the gift entered you at salvation. And that gift, you can give it the meaning again.
Means to fail to care for properly.
You can fail. Some of you have got an F in the care of Christ. You have an A plus in the care of your son, who is going to be a drug addict in just 3 years' time. Just 3 years, he's going to be on drugs. In just 3 years, if it will even be 3 years. That man you are caring for, it's just a matter of time. He will show you that he has never been interested in you. Yes. There's a man sitting here who feels that your wife loves you. She doesn't love you. She has no interest in you. You are the one wearing a ring. She's having a good time somewhere. Here, in this church service we have. Here. Talking about here. There's a man here. We spend our time majoring on useless things. I told you the last 2 weeks, you may think I was joking. I told you that anybody who dares to take some of his heart to love a woman, you take some of your heart to love a man, you are entering into a dangerous zone. Because God, he said, he wants all. Say all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? 80%. Deuteronomy 82:96. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. As for heart, you got to love God with all your heart. Not 98%. He wants you to love your wife. But what you are going to use to love your wife is a different thing. As for him, he wants the heart is 100%. Don't fail. There are many failures. Many of you are failures. You were just promoted in your office. You just had first class. You are the MD of this, but you are a failure in terms of the care of Christ. You failed. You couldn't care for him. You couldn't care for him. You didn't know that it is that Christ who is going to be, who is one day going to help you to become stable in your marriage, stable in your family, normal children. Which parent has the ability to care for a child in this world? Which parent is that? You are raising which child? You must be out of your socket. If a child will turn out right, it will be because of God. And he is exactly the person, your things. Your commitment is just like the commitment you have for something very marginal and unimportant. Yeah. Some of you are here today because you can come to church. You can come. Next week, if you can't come, you are not here. Everything else is important. Old schoolmates, everything, funeral, whatever, your office work, your school, everything is important except Jesus. But you are soon going to see that the truth is big, that except the Lord, it is what the Lord has built in your life that will last. It is what the Lord has watched over in your life that will remain. You sit up. Continue sitting up. A gift. If a gift I received at age 9 made me a doctor by age 26, I was a medical doctor. A gift. Somebody's money gift made me a doctor. How much more a gift of Jesus Christ? How much more a gift of Jesus Christ? And Paul did not just leave him to imagine how not to neglect the gift that was in him. In the next verse, he told him exactly what he should do. He said, meditate on this. Let it be on your mind. But more importantly, give thyself wholly. Give thyself wholly to them. And how true? Because God has no intention of receiving a fraction of your heart or a fraction of your time. Yeah, he wants all. All your mind, all your strength, all your heart. All. He wants all. He wants all. So I began to show you from scriptures how, You see, you care for Christ by giving yourself wholly to him. That's how you care for something. There are many things in life, until you've given it your full attention, it is going to spoil. Like a baby you give birth to. I mean, you must give it your attention. Day and night. You can wake up and the baby is dead. No fever. It's just dead in the cot. You must be alert. It's not everything you care for with, I mean, as an afterthought. When you are free. No. That's why when a woman delivers, she's given maternity leave. You must give your fullest attention to that baby. Otherwise, you have yourself to blame. So how? How do you give yourself wholly to God? Because it's not just Paul talking to Timothy, give thyself wholly to me. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God has said, you must give me your all your heart is holy. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all holy. This type of part-time Christianity, Sunday morning Christianity, you are the one practicing it. God doesn't know these things. So in Matthew 7, he said, I'll tell you that I never knew you. It's your invention. The Christian life you are living, it's your invention. It's not in the Bible. I never knew you. I never knew you. So how? How do you give yourself holy? Number one, I've taught you already. Let's go over. You give yourself holy to God. Number one, give yourself wholly to God by believing that your life is in your power. You give yourself wholly to God by believing that your life is in your power to do what you want to do with it. That's the first thing. Nobody is in charge of your life. The measure of Christ in you is a result of what you have chosen to devote to him. It's not that somebody had all of Christ and you have got just his fingernails. No. You decide to care for him once a week. When you wake up in the morning and you are reading your Bible, you are caring for him. I'm sure you give yourself wholly to God by believing that your life is in your power to do what you want to do with it. Nobody is in control of your life. Even in jail, your life is in your hands. They can take your body and put you in cuffs. But your heart is always yours. Number two, you give yourself wholly to God by giving all your heart. All your heart. You can't give part of your heart to your business. You can't give part of your heart to a girl. You can't give part of your heart to money. You can't give part of your heart to soccer. You can't give part of your heart to betting. You can't give part of your heart to a man. All. He says all. You can't give me all, then I don't want you. You can't give me all, then you are not supposed to be with me. But you wouldn't want to marry a man and have a wedding on the before the wedding night. The man will say to you, "Oh, he wants to share you with three other ladies." Will you agree? Will you be in that marriage? So why do you think that as for God, he can have you with money and soccer and betting and your boyfriends? Number three. Give yourself wholly to God by building your life around church activities. You build your life around church activities. That is how you give yourself wholly to God. Because the church is his embassy. The activities of the church. In the American embassy in Ghana, when it is 1st July, whatever day in America, they observe it here. Anything important in America is important in that building there. Whatever is important in America, if there's a change of government, it will affect whoever is the ambassador here. You belong to Jesus. You build your life around the church that he is building. As for you, the church has to be planned around your schedule. And when you are free, you plug it in. You plug church attendance in. Oh, not this. I can't attend that one. I'll see if I can come for that one. Yeah, I'll be here. Because my meeting starts at 12. So I can be here at 10. By 11, if you are talking too much, I'll leave the service. The activities of the church. Give me point number four, please. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now, just in passing. I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. Verse 8. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. Paul's itinerary was built around church milestones. I will wait till Pentecost. I will travel after the crusade. That shows that you have respect for God. I can only meet you after the service. I can never attend a family meeting at 9 a.m. on Sunday. I go to church. I can't. On Saturday evening, I have an area fellowship meeting. I can't attend that party. I have to attend that meeting. We are having an outreach in the afternoon. After the outreach, I can come. Is it okay? If it's not okay, then please. Yeah. That's what we mean by building your life around the activities of the church. It shows that you regard God. Number five. Number six. There's another point. Number five. Number six. Give yourself wholly to God. Remove what is on the screen. Give yourself wholly to God by being able to point to things or people you have left behind to follow Christ. That's how you give yourself wholly to God. You give yourself wholly to God by being able to point to things or people you have left behind. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Verse 20. "And they straightway left their nets and followed him." So as they were following Jesus, they could point to nets they have left behind. In Luke chapter 18, verse 28, Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." We have left all. I want to ask you, what can you point to? You see, you can say you have given yourself whole. No woman or no man, let me say this a different way. No man can say he has given himself wholly to his wife. When he's still with his two former girlfriends. Having a former girlfriend isn't a problem. Isn't a problem that you have a former girlfriend. The problem is that you are with Esther now, and on weekends you say you are going for some meetings and you spend the time with Abigail and Natasha. The problem is not that Natasha was your former girlfriend. The problem we have with you is that these two women are currently actively in your marriage. So any man who has given himself fully to a woman should be able to point to a former something and say, "That girl, yes, in the university she was my girlfriend. I felt I was going to marry her. Yes, that girl. Yeah, the short one. Yeah, that is the one. But I have left her to follow you." And any Christian who cannot point to nets and boats and houses and things and friends and music and movies that you have left, you have not left God. You've not given yourself fully to God. Legon is here. It's the only place where you can get 80% and score A. Gentlemen, hey, please don't disturb the meeting. Leave whoever is, you know, what he wants to do. First class, 90% is first class. It's not with God. God doesn't know 98%. If you cannot refer, Chale, "I was into Stone Boy fully. This music, the music we heard when they were playing, when we were passing, oh, it was my main nightclub music. But now I'm saved. But now I'm now it's no more in my life." Anybody who can point to something you've left, but as for you, all your past things are still in your present, then you can't say you have given yourself fully to God. That's all I'm saying. I used to wear these type of dresses. I had them. But now I don't wear them again. A dress does not show a little part of the breast. Does not push a little breast outside. A dress that must let your nipples show prominently. A dress that when you are walking, you have to walk like this and you are pulling. Christian sister, you should have them, but they should be in your past life. They should be in your past life. So we have left them. We have left the nets. Oh, that man was my former boyfriend. He took me to Dubai. He took me to France. He bought my first car, but now I'm saved. I'm no more with him. If you can't speak that language, then you are a fake person. Your faith is fake. Number eight. Number seven. Give yourself wholly to God by building your life around the people God is using. They are people God is using. They are called women of God. They are called men of God. And one of the ways to give yourself wholly to God is to give yourself. Jeremiah 3:15. God said, I will give you pastors after my heart. So you cannot say you are fully with God when there is no man he is using who is in your life and you build your life around him. Literally around him. My pastor says I can't go. Yes. I mean, there are lives that are built around pastors. I'm in love with this girl. But my pastor says I cannot marry her. He says no. I mean, anybody who has a, like, your life you are living is totally and freely being lived outside the influence of a pastor. That you, whatever you want to do, it's what you do. You are not properly with God. You are not properly with God. You know, there are some statements. You wouldn't expect a man in Sierra Leone, we say a mortal man to make them. But you see Paul telling Philemon, in Philemon 1, he said, don't push me. Don't push me to tell you how you owe your life to me. I mean, it's like not your life to Christ or your life to God. You owe your life. In other words, the life you are living now, I am the reason why you are living the life you are living now. Yes. A pastor can actually make you live a certain life. Look at this, in Philemon 1, verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hands, and I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self beside. Give me another translation. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. You owe me your life. That is, there are lives that are lived on the account of a man. is the man who supervises your school going, the choice of your subject, who is your friend, where you spend your time, what you do, whatever. A man. He said, remember that you are who you are because of me. And this person, Philemon, he was the pastor of the church in Colossae. The Colossian church. Their pastor was Philemon. Paul had raised him from nothing and built him on the basis of instructions and guidance, and built him and guided him. I'm saying that anybody sitting here whose life, your real life, is cut off from a pastor, you've not given yourself to God. You're on your own. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, New American Standard Bible, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. He said, am I not free? This is Paul. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? Haven't I seen Jesus? You've forgotten that I saw him on the road to Damascus? Then he asks. So he's asking questions. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus? Then he asks, are you not my work in the Lord? When will your life be a pastor's work? When will your marriage be a pastor's work? This is the Bible. He said, are you not my work? I would have thought that you say that. Are you not Jesus' work? Are you not Christ's work? The work of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the angels who came together and celestially made you into a divine being. Say, you are my work, my work. And Paul is telling Philemon, you owe your life to me, myself. Are you not my work? And I'm asking a question in English. When will your life be a pastor's work? That you are married, you are wearing a ring because a pastor said, marry that guy. When? When? Because the internet has painted the imagery of a pastor being a fraudster. Because there is no way on earth you subject your life to a pastor. But look at it. See what it says in verse 2. If to others I'm not an apostle, at least I am an apostle to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. If to others I'm not anointed, I'm not born again, I'm a fake pastor, I'm a crook, I'm not a real pastor. If to others I'm not a man of God, at least to you, Mildred, dear, I'm something to you. I built you, but it's okay. It's okay. Let me give you some one more. People collapse. I can show you videos. Girls at a concert. Michael Jackson concert. As soon as Michael Jackson appears on the stage, they start collapsing. Grown up men. A woman, a pop diva, is singing, and at the peak of her performance, she removes her panties and throws it at a man. When the man holds it, he dies. He holds the woman's panties. He dies. They are properly connected. Connection. They are connected. They are connected. Where's your connection? What's your connection to a leader? What's your connection to a pastor?
What are you doing that is referable to an instruction your pastor gave you? Where's your connection? Number 8. You give yourself wholly to God by building your entire life around God's family. God's family. God's family. Not some worldly family. Nobody in this room should have a family, a group that you are with that are ungodly. Your group, your life should be built around God's family. The family of God, the church. One of the things you must do as a born-again Christian is to take a knife, metaphorically, I said, metaphorically, and start slicing off wrong relationships from you. Cut them off. Cut them off. Because the road, the way to the kingdom is too narrow for you to bring a friend from the world. Even you alone, your body can't go through the gate. How much more a friend you are entering with? It's too narrow. It's too narrow. Your hips can't even go through. You must stand like this. And the buttocks is also there. And for you to add a boyfriend, it cannot be. If you successfully entered, anybody sitting here, you have entered the church with your boyfriend, your unbeliever friend, it means you are not in the kingdom. You've lost your way. In the kingdom, the gate will show you how you enter. You enter alone, even with scratches on your body because it's tight. People literally must lose weight to enter the kingdom. And you are bringing your friends. First Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Your good life in God is being destroyed by unbeliever friends. Don't be deceived. It's eating your life away. Every ungodly communication is nibbling at the edifice of your Christianity and spirituality. You are finishing by the day. You may not know. You are finishing. The New American Standard Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals, corrupts good morals. Nobody under the sound of my voice should be among unbelievers. You cannot have unbeliever friends. Cut them off. I love the Passion Translation. There's a translation called the Passion Translation. These people who have no regard for God, I don't know whether they even have it there. Well, I can see they have it there. No, I've really noticed. I've taken note of who they are. I've taken note. I've really taken note today. But I've noted their disregard for me. And I've noted it. It's in my pocket. At the right time, I'll take the card out. To use me as I'm preaching. You've put a little boy and showing him which buttons to press. Wow. Wow. Malachi said, will you do this to your governor? If you were at a governor was giving a speech, will you do what you are doing to a governor? But it's okay. That's how we are supposed to be treated as pastors. So we receive it. They are not the first. That's the life I live. So I'm continuing to live my life. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, in the Passion Translation, it said, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Every believer was faithfully devoted. Like the teachings I'm giving today and in this series. If you were a proper believer, you'd be faithfully devoted to this teaching. Wow! This is what I must do. This is how my life should be. Yes. But you are not a correct Christian. That is why as soon as you leave the church service, you are nothing here goes with you. Nothing here. No. Bungalows. But those days, the beginning of the church, the beginning, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Habba. Their hearts were mutually linked. My heart is linked to yours. Yours is linked to hers. Not that we are having sex or we are smooching or we are fondling or whatever. Our hearts are one. It's connected to you. Yours to mine. Hers to yours. Theirs to his. It's watch it. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. Verse 43. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. 44. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. All of them were in fellowship. It's not this type of fellowship, oh. That one you are meeting on Wednesday, we can't find it because you've got a big job in town which will not allow you to relate with. All the believers were in fellowship as one body. All were one. And they shared with one another. Whatever they had, they shared it. I have money, you get some. You have jollof, my son gets some. She has ice cream, her son gets some. You built a school, the guy whose fees can be paid. It's like it was a commune. And they shared with one another whatever they had. Verse 45. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. 46. Daily. I said, this version of Christian life you are living, it's your own contraption. It's your creation. And I'm not surprised you don't even feel it because you are not a spiritual person. If you are spiritual, this series I'm preaching will change your life. But you're not spiritual. Daily, they met together in the temple courts. Daily. And in one another's homes. So they were either in the church meeting or in Antiochus' house. So in the temple, King James says, and from house to house. But they saw themselves every day. They saw themselves every day. That's the church. It's not a lighthouse doctrine. It's not a lighthouse teaching. This is the church. This is the church. Not the type of submarines that disappear for a week and appear on Sunday morning. No. Every day. They met in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together. Wait, I'll come there. There's a point about food. Give thyself holy. There's a point. I'll come there. I don't want to start. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. That's it. You must have humility to hobnob with us during the week. You must have humility. Any iota of pride will never allow you to relate with us. Because look, sir, stand up, please, and see. These are. There's nothing here. If you close your eyes and you point to anybody you want to relate with, it's likely your money will go into the person's life. The person's money will not come into your life. It's just a church of area boys, area girls. You need, I'm not saying this word. You need humility to get down from your high horse and sit with us in an area fellowship and receive English language that makes you bow your head. Tender humility. They shared meals together with joyful hearts. We are slowly building a church. It's in the works. Where we will meet ourselves every day. One way or the other. Some way, somehow. At least on a Zoom or Google Meet. We'll meet and eat. We'll meet and pray. We'll pass by each other. Some type of thing. But this Sunday only Christianity, it will be left only to you to practice. It will never be a part of this church's life. Verse 47. Look at it. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. This church growth, there's no outreach in it. There's no crusade in it. It's just that being together every day, people just join them. Just being together, moving up and down together, then somebody will join. Then somebody will join. And then somebody will join. And then they say these guys are a unique group. They join them. I pray that it will be the story for the church. Yeah. So you see, this is the Salem life. Salem. When the Presbyterians came, they built Salems. We have Dodua Salem, we have Osu Salem, Abokobi Salem. They are different. So because if they allowed the converts to be in their original environments, they'll be drinking libation. They'll be practicing witchcraft and come to the church. So they built Salems and built schools in the Salems. And they lived as Christians. This is it. It's the same thing here. That's the church. It's not some white man came to do something to Africa. That's the church. They live together. If I'm not in my house, I'm in Auntie Cici's house. If I'm not in Brother Fred's house, they were together. Every day. And they were not some poor people. These are the guys who had houses they could sell. Don't bring yourself. They were not some area boys and some nincompoops. They were rich and wealthy. Ananias and Sapphira, they were a part of this group. People with houses, even today, with all our mouth, who has sold the house to bring to what? To bring to the church. Which house have you sold? All the puffiness is for nothing. The people who could sell houses and sell lands and sell cars, they live their lives this way. Don't start. You have created your own brand of Christianity and you are living it. Keep living it. Number 9. I don't think I want to go to number 9 because the point is a bit different and it joins with 10, 11, and 12. So I want to end here today. Let's rise to our feet. Wow.
Give thyself wholly. What a word. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your word. What a revelation. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee. You got some Jesus some 10 years ago. Don't neglect it. You pay for it. You pay a high price. There's a reason God gave you that gift. There must be a reason God will give you Jesus. Don't neglect it. Don't fail to take care of it. Don't fail to take care of it. Lift your two hands and let's clear the service. Lift your two hands and pray. Talk to God yourself. Whatever prayer you want to pray, talk to God. Pray.
The Lord will not neglect the gifts.
Yes.
That will not neglect the gifts, oh God. That will not neglect the gift of Christ in us. That will give ourselves holy to them. Kalaba, rebele do shapaladaba, zelebele katayaba, mantaya bele dosh, lipala katayaba, zani minima, lipapayaba.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way.
Soul.
I live for you alone.
Every breath that I take,
every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way, Lord.
Have your way.
Lord, I give
you. This is my desire to honor. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you,
and
all I have within, I give you praise,
all that I know,
all that I it's in you.
It's in you. Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
Lord, I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way in me.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Ask the Lord to save you. Ask the Lord to have mercy on you.
Lord, have mercy on me.
Ask the Lord to
save me, Lord.
Let His will be done in your life.
Yes, yes.
Father, we thank you.
Oh, Jesus.
We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Somebody is about to receive the full Jesus today. Jesus. Jesus.
Oh,
Jesus. Somebody is about to receive a gift.
Yes.
God is going to give somebody today a gift. A gift.
A gift.
A gift.
Ah, yes.
A gift.
Oh, yes.
A gift.
Yes.
A gift.
Jesus.
A gift.
Jesus.
A gift.
Jesus.
A gift.
Oh, yes.
As every head is bowed. You want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus.
Oh, Pastor, yes.
Pastor, I want to be born again today.
I want to be born again today, yes.
I want to surrender my life, my all to Jesus.
Yes.
Pastor, please. Pastor, please.
Oh, yes.
Lead me in a prayer.
Lead me.
I don't want to go back the way I came to church today. I want to surrender my life and my heart to Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Pastor, please pray for me.
Oh, yes.
If you are here like that, you want me to pray with you, just lift your hand right there. Yes. I see your hand. God bless you. You are here. I know you are here. Lift it high. I want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. Pastor, I want to be born again. Pastor, I need Jesus. I'm not an armed robber. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not an evil person. I just need Jesus.
Oh,
lift your hand high.
Yes.
I see your hand. I see your hand at the back. I see. I see your hand. Pastor, I want to be born again. I need Jesus. If your hand is lifted up, I want you to come to me here. Come to the front here. Come here. Step out and come. Take your bag, your Bible, your phone. God bless you. Come, my dear. Keep coming. Come, my dear. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Keep coming. Jesus is calling you. It's a gift.
Lord, have your way.
It's a gift.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, Lord. Every time I will be. Every moment I'm away. Lord, have your
way. Gift.
Lord,
keep coming. Keep
Lord,
coming.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
Keep coming.
I live for you alone. I live for you. Oh, every breath that
keep coming. Keep coming.
Lord, have you way.
I'm waiting for you. Keep coming. Come. Come to Jesus. Come now. Leave your seat and come now. Come now. Spirit, there's somebody here. You are standing with your friends. God says, leave them and come to Him. Take that step today and come. He will receive you. I don't know who you are, but nothing I'm suggesting benefits me personally. It's your life.
Close your eyes and lift your two hands. Lift your two hands and say after me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I can't hear you. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Today I've heard your word.
Today I've heard your word.
The word of life.
The word of life.
I receive you.
I receive you.
As my Lord and my personal Savior.
As my Lord and my personal Savior.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That your son Jesus died for me.
That your son Jesus died for me.
And shed his blood.
And shed his blood.
I need that blood.
I need that blood.
Say, I need that blood.
I need that blood.
Because I am dirty.
Because I am dirty.
Say, my sins cannot be washed with omo.
My sins cannot be washed with omo.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I have done many filthy things.
I have done many filthy things.
Only the blood of Jesus.
Only the blood of Jesus.
Can cleanse my sins.
Can cleanse my sins.
Oh Father.
Oh Father.
Wash me.
Wash me.
And today.
And today.
I receive your son.
I receive your son.
As my master.
As my master.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
You have helped me to take this step.
You have helped me to take this step.
Because the Bible says nobody can come to Jesus.
Oh, nobody can come to Jesus, yes.
Except you draw him.
Except you draw him.
Thank you for drawing me today.
Thank you for drawing me today.
And from today.
And from today.
I will not fail.
I will not fail.
To take care of this gift.
To take care of this gift.
I will pay attention.
I will pay attention.
To my gift of salvation.
To my gift of salvation.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Sunday.
Sunday.
Say Sunday.
Sunday.
Will not be a new day.
Will not be a new day.
Where I'm seeing Christian friends.
When I'm seeing Christian friends.
Today,
today,
I'm starting a new life.
I'm starting a new life.
Please wash me.
Please wash me.
Please receive me.
Please receive me.
Please cleanse me.
Please cleanse me.
Please make me your child.
Please make me your child.
I thank you.
I thank you
for my great salvation.
For my great salvation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Where are the UCs? Oh, you are here now. You are here now. Sorry. Sorry. Please come, mommy. Our lady pastor is one of many pastors who are going to visit you, pray for you, counsel you, talk to you, and help you to be strong. Do you want to be a strong Christian? Yeah. This woman will help you. You should be her works. Her works. Paul said, you are my works. So whatever they tell you to do, if they say buy a Bible, if they say attend a prayer meeting, if they say stop working with these friends, some of them will actually come to you and ask you to take them to your friends to talk to them. But they are going to guide you. And I believe your life will never be the same again. Never the same again. So I want you to go with her now this way. Go with her this way. Go this way. Keep clapping your hands for them. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop. Encourage them. Oh, yes. Keep clapping your hands.
your communion. Why do we eat it? It's to remember Jesus. It will shock you that you can forget that Jesus died for you. You remember you are from Ibri Girls. You remember you are a Fante. You remember you are a painter. You remember everything except Jesus. So he said, eat this to remember that I am in your life. The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Say, I remember.
I remember.
Say, I am remembering.
I am remembering
that Jesus.
That Jesus
is in my life.
Is in my life.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Say, I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
I will live like 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 a Christian.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
Let's eat it.
Shall have eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ.
Oh, yes. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Say, it washed my sins.
It washed my sins.
It purged me.
It purged me.
It makes me whole.
It makes me whole.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
When
let's
I see the blood. Oh, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Father, we thank you.
Oh, yes.
We eat it. As we step out this week.
Oh, yes.
Remember your death.
Jesus.
Remember your blood.
Yes.
Remember your goodness.
Oh, Jesus.
We say, let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Save us.
Yes.
Help us.
Yes.
Build us.
Oh, yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.